happy day. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus
washed.
When Jesus washed.
He washed my sins away.
Happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. All my sins away.
Good, because they prepared for me that I know that they come to me, you know? Was it every week like this, or they made it special because they knew that I'm here? got it. Thanks for encouragement. Okay, as you all know, that I'm a Pastor Justin at New Creation, you know, with sharing the church facility together, same church. So it's great that, when was the last time that I preached here? Long time ago, wow. You know how long I have been here? Long, long time. Okay, 5 years, 5 years. January 2011, new Christian moved to here, Campbell. And we have shared this first year together. Okay, is today for you happy day? Is it right? The really happy day? Is this summer very special to you? So in the future, when you look back, 2015 summer, that was very special to me. I remember that. Can you say it like that? Now I said happy day. Yeah, but is it special? Oh, I should think about it. I think summer was Melinda was very special, right? You remember she tried a PCT, Pacific Crest Trail. There was the year of life, right? I hope your summer be very special this summer. And I hope today is very special to you. So you can look back and you can remember August 9, 2015. That was a very special day to me because I received the word of God that day. I hope you can all confess that way in the future. Okay? All right. These days, I was really busy because I just have been to the mission trip, Mexico mission trip for 8 days to Tijuana. How many have you been the mission trip? Uh-oh. Okay. Wrong place to ask. Okay. Let me say this. What was the last will of Jesus Christ? The last will of Jesus Christ. You know, if you ask that, people are confused because there's a tricky part. He resurrected. So usually the last word is the last word right before your death. That's the last word. But after his death, you know, there is a last word on the cross, right? The one of the passage we shared today. Oh, Lord, why have you forsaken me? That was his last word before his death. Or maybe it's fulfilled. Oh, Lord, forgive them. They are all last words on the cross. But tricky part, after he died, he resurrected, right? So after he resurrected, he stayed 40 days with the disciples. And where is he now? He was taken up. He ascended to heaven. So the last will of Jesus Christ is what he said the last time on this earth, right before his ascension. That's Acts, Book of Acts, chapter 8. Because if you read the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, after saying this, he was taken up. So he said this and taken up, that's his last will. You all should know Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, the last will of Jesus Christ, you will receive power when Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, or Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. That is the last will of Jesus Christ. So be witness of Jesus Christ. You know, it's the last word. It's not optional. He said, you all should be my witnesses. You all should go for mission. Church is for mission. If a church doesn't go to mission, that's not church. Because church is built to fulfill Jesus' last word. And his last word was, you go out, be my witnesses. You know, when we truly become happy, when you truly feel that we're happy, when human truly feels that we're happy, when you do God's will in our life, when God's will is fulfilled through our life, you will truly feel happiness. So I hope you all imbibe a mission trip, okay? So last week, I've been the mission trip. This mission trip is very special. Actually, it's a mission trip you can go together because this is a circuit mission trip. You know, we are the same circuit, right? 10 churches. Including New Creation, Campbell, and Armadani, Willow Glen. There are 10 churches we are in one circuit. 3 circuit churches, every 2 years, they go this mission trip. Did you know that? Have they ever invited you? They didn't invite you? Okay, but circuit churches, they go this mission trip every 2 years, same time of the year, the last week of July. And this year, the 4 churches will join, Willow Glen, Armadani here, Cambrian Park, and including us, New Creation. It was a New Creation's first time we joined this mission trip. So we went to the Tijuana, you know, we drove, and for 8 days, we built a house like this. The churches went there, and then we built the house there. You want to go? Okay? You know, I know the Jordan have been to the SSP Sierra Service Project. This is simply like the Sierra Service project. You go there for the poor people, you build a house. But one thing very good for this thing, not yet. Okay, screen is a keep, change it, but mission trip yet. Still mission trip. Go back to the mission trip screen. Okay, I will say exactly like this the next screen, okay? All right, but you know, this mission trip, you can simply think it's a family mission trip. Sierra Service project, only your youth go, but this mission trip, whole family, children, youth children, and adult, you can all go together. So you can just plan once a year, my family vacation. Instead of going Mexico Cancun, I will go to Mexico Tijuana to build a house. I went with my first daughter, Faith, who's a junior high. It was very meaningful for me. I about 7 days, I was keep talking with her, the meaning of life, what you need to do. It was truly meaningful. So I hope that 2 years later, when they plan it again, when they invite Campbell, hope more people to join it, whole family, and then you have a great experience. Okay? But actually, not this time, 2 years ago, they also invited me at that time, but I didn't go 2 years ago. There was one thing that I cannot go. Every year, there's a big annual event for me, Western Jurisdiction Korean Pastors Retreat. Last 8 years, every year, I went to the Western Jurisdiction Korean Pastors Summer Retreat. All the, you know, the Korean pastors gather, and it was a truly refreshing time to me, and I shared all the ministry with my colleagues, and my children all have a best friend there. So once a year, we go this family mission, pastors gathering, and before the year starts, my calendar, I just make that schedule first. Okay, last week of July, I go to Western Jurisdiction Korean Pastors Family Retreat, and I make it, and then I schedule rest of the year there. My vacation was always same that week. Problem, the mission trip at the same time with this Western Jurisdiction Korean Pastors Family Retreat. So 2 years ago, when they invite me, I said, oh, that's a great mission trip, but we have a family tradition. And I didn't want to break it. And it was the best time of the year. My children were waiting for that for a whole year. And it was a chance that I could meet other pastors. Maybe it's not just for fun, refreshing. I get some idea about ministry. So there was enough reason I should choose to go that retreat. So 2 years ago, I said, I'm not going to go. And this year, they sent me the invitation again. Hey, we want to new Christian join this new mission trip again. And I was just struggling. 2 years ago, I said no. And this time, I was struggling. Family pastors retreat is really important, but mission trip is a mission, is something God ordered us to do. Should I really join or not? I was struggling. But family tradition, you know, the importance of family tradition, annual family tradition. So I said, no, I'm sorry, I cannot go this year again. So it was, I couldn't go. So that was the story. But there was another story which made me go this year. You know, the bishop. Okay, now the next screen. You know, we have our bishop, right? The bishop, one of our, has any of you have met him personally? Good. You know, I for last 5 years, I met him 2 times. Not like, you know, every year when I go to conference, he's there, and then I was there. It's not like that meeting, but personally, I met him 2 times to talk with him. First time, 5 years ago, right before my ordination. You know, the bishop called all the candidate for the ordination. There were 7 people, and he called me and the other candidate for ordination. I want to talk with you before I give you ordination. So the appointment was set. And that Sunday, 3:30, I got a phone call. And they said, where are you? It's an appointment with the bishop. It's 3 o'clock. And I was 3:30. I was still at my church. I completely forgot my appointment with the bishop. You know what I say? I was driving, just wait, you know, there's traffic. I was at church and then I just about to, but I'm driving, don't worry about it, I get there soon. And then I drove, like it took a 30 minute. It was a meeting at the Los Altos. And when I got there, I was thinking, maybe the 7 people, including me, there'll be meetings. So I will sneakily come in and then I'll just pretend that I've been there for a while. I was doing it. And right after I parked my car, at the parking lot I came out, and it was lunch break, and Bishop was standing like this at the porch. And he was looking at me, and I, OMG, I was walking like this. And I'm so sorry. It was before my ordination, right? I thought, okay, I'm not gonna be ordained this year. That was, you know, what I was thinking. But I'm so sorry. And then he just came, walked to me, and then, don't worry about. We are United Methodists. We are very punctual. he said, just, don't worry about it. We are very punctual. Okay. And then he didn't say, but you lay 1 hour, right? So it was like that 5 years ago. So I gave a very bad impression to Bishop at my first meeting. 2 months ago, I had another meeting with the bishop. It was the second time in 5 years. And then this time, you know, the new creation, we are doing the Spanish ministry, Spanish language ministry these days. We are like mostly a Pan-Asian congregation, but during the last 2 years, the Latino congregation was born in our church. So there's now two congregations in our church, and Bishop wanted to hear about that. So he called about 15 leaders of the churches, and he said, I want you to present your special program. That was a Saturday, and then I was eating lunch, and my daughter says, hey, Daddy, your phone says Google Calendar appointment with the bishop at 12 o'clock. Bam, bam. And that was a 12 o'clock appointment with Castro Valley. And I said, no! Second appointment! How can this thing happen? And I drove to Castro Valley, there was traffic, and I was 40 minutes late. And when I was 40 minutes late, this time I had hope, meeting with 15 people, right? So I was really, really going sneakily come in, and when I just entered into the meeting room, Bishop was, you know, presenting something. He said, now it's time to new creation presenting. Oh, Justin is there, come on. It's so obvious that I just came in like this. Wow, I'll be appointed to Nevada next year. But 5 years, two appointments with the Bishop, my boss, right? This worldly boss, I made an appointment and then two times I labeled it at 1 hour. That Saturday, on my way to coming back to my office, I was driving, and I was almost like shouting, yelling to God, why did you do this thing to me? You should have reminded me, right? Aren't you my protector? Aren't you my Lord? For this kind of important appointment, shouldn't you help me not to make this thing happen? Does it make sense? I complained like that to God, because why did God do this thing to me, right? The two times, right? And then I came back to my office, and I opened my email, and there was another email for next screen. Okay, the email from my church member, they said, hey, everybody, you remember that today, 10 a.m., we're supposed to go out to the mission, the street mission. So there was a church event planned for Latino population. We're supposed to go out and they hand out all the church brochure. We call the street mission, right? You know that street. And that email said, hey, don't forget the 10 a.m. street mission. It's your promise with God. That was the email. And I knew that we had that event as a pastor, but I have joined that street mission before a few times. And it was meaningful, but honestly, it was not that pleasant. You know, it's embarrassing that you go to somebody's house as a stranger, knock, 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 and then give a brochure, and they were not that welcoming. So street mission is a difficult thing to do. And I think I knew that there was 10 a.m. street mission at church, but that day I completely forgot 10 a.m. street mission, and I completely forgot the afternoon appointment with the bishop. And when I read this email, I heard God's voice. God answered me like this, why did I do that? You forgot the appointment with me. Why should I remind you appointment with the bishop? You even forgot that important appointment with me to go out to street mission. Why I should out that less important appointment with the bishop? Right? So I really found, that God really tell me that to keep the appointment with the bishop is more, to keep the appointment with God is much more important than appointment with the bishop. So I just made my personal commitment from now on. If a church plan any street mission, whether I like it or not, I always join it. So I made my personal commitment. So it's good that even if I was late, I had a bad experience with the bishop, but I had an important lesson, right? And that evening, I was still walking on my church, and all of a sudden, I start thinking, then, 5 years ago, when I had my first appointment with the bishop, and when I was late, did I miss another important appointment with God at that time? I start thinking like this, right? But there's no way that I can remember what promise I missed 5 years ago. And I opened up my office drawer, and surprisingly, there was all my calendar for last 6 years. I kept this small calendar for every 2 year calendar, and I thought, oh, there's a calendar, what happened? I could see the what happened 5 years ago. And about this time, my hand started shaking. No, come on, don't kid me, it's not like that. And I start open the pages, and next page, I really found April 2010, the time that I had an appointment with the bishop. And the bottom one, you cannot read it, but it says appointment with the bishop at 12 o'clock, and I found it. About this time, I was really freaked out. God, don't do this thing to me, okay? Don't this freak thing to me, and then I was doing it. And then when I opened that page, right above a week before the appointment, it says a mission trip meeting. Maybe there was a day, some kinds of mission trip at that time. I even don't remember whether I made that meeting or not. But when I opened it, it's just like God's voice. Mission trip meeting. You keep saying you're not gonna go mission trip this year, but isn't the going the mission trip with your appointment with me something I ask you to do? You be my witnesses and you keep saying no? Shouldn't you do it? It might be coincidence. Do you think it's a coincidence that all these things happen? That night, I went back to my home and I told my wife, Hannah, God ordered me to go to a mission trip. We're not gonna go to family, the annual family trip. This year, the Western Christian pastors retreat. And she said, are you sure? And I heard the order. It's an order, not option, so I should follow it. And she said, you pastor, whatever you like to do. Okay, I still don't know whether she's happy or not. But anyway, that was the reason that I at last joined the DC mission trip. And I could see. I'm going to share later if you invite me again. But there was a very important thing that I learned during the mission trip. And the mission trip was really, really meaningful. You know, I want to share today's passage. Today's passage is very strange passage about the time that Jesus was, died. About the time that he was crucified and 6 hours, the darkness came over the whole land, right? One of the last moments of Jesus Christ, last word, next screen. And, you know, the last moment of Jesus' life, he says like this, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And he translated, what is it? My God, why have you forsaken me? Do you like this confession? When I read it, I feel weird. Is there something should come out from Jesus' mouth? Shouldn't he say, God, I still believe you are with me? No, still he was on the cross. Shouldn't he have said, I'm still believing you are with me. I'm glorifying you. I'm being crucified for you. I know the meaning of this cross. Shouldn't he have said that? How could Jesus say, the Son of God say, why have you forsaken me? It's a very strange confession, and I don't know what lesson I can get from this. It's a negative, not positive. And another mysterious thing, right after Jesus said that, there was a man, scripture says there was a centurion. And centurion said, wow. When he heard Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This centurion now confessed, surely this man was the Son of God. Again, if Jesus said, in the extreme pain on the cross, if Jesus said, my God, I still know you are with me, I'm doing your work. If he said that, maybe it makes sense. Centurion said, wow, he's a man of God. Until the last moment of his death, he's still being faithful. That's more smooth transition, right? That's more makes sense. But Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? And at that time, the centurion said, whoa, he's the Son of God. Why did the centurion confess with this negative speech that he's the Son of God? That's a mystery, right? I want to introduce one more program. As I said, it's about the Spanish ministry. Aldi, we're just going to skip the video. Can you go to the next screen? Okay, next screen, not this screen. Okay, I want to introduce, the Spanish ministry, how it started. And, we started this ministry 2 years ago, and we call this is a seed project. This is Seed Project. What is the reason we call it Seed Project? The student extracurricular education development. So first time we start this program as a free afternoon school. We just try to do the free afternoon school to a lot of Latino kids around our church, right? And the reason we started 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the church leadership all gathered and we talk about, let's plan the church ministry. What are you gonna do for long-term ministry goal? Any special thing we need to do? And also for church's growth. And we talk about like that. And you know that while we are making conversation, because we were like a young population church, people start talking like this. Let's do something for this Latino population in our neighborhood. And it's a good work to help the kids to help their study. But at the same time, church leaders said, church will grow. If we do this Latino ministry, maybe the rumors spread out, and a lot of good people with a good heart outside, maybe they will hear New Creation is doing the good work, and the young people, they will join as a volunteer, as a tutoring volunteer. So we planned like this. If we do it, we're doing the good work, and then maybe it also make the church grow. So actually, you know, we have this year, Campbell and New Creation, we try to relaunch this, you know, the free afternoon school. There's a free afternoon school volunteer form if you go to the narthex on the desk with the sermon script. So if you want to fill up, you can fill it up. But anyway, 3 years ago we planned, we'll do it. We'll do this free afternoon school. It will make church grow, and we are doing the good work. That was actually the original plan. And we had like a 6 months preparation meeting. Every week, leadership had a meeting and then what to do. And after 6 months, we opened, we launched this free afternoon school. And we hand out like 300, 500, you know, the flyer to the school. And we were waiting at the fellowship hall saying, oh, 2 p.m., people are supposed to come. And then people, the leadership start talking, how many chairs should we prepare at the fellowship hall? 30? And some people say, you know, we gave out the free afternoon school program flyer for 300, at least 100 people will come. So let's say 50 chairs at least we're going to set up at the fellowship hall because we expect neighbors, children, and families, they come for this free afternoon school. And we were waiting, church leadership, like 30 people waiting. Okay, 2 p.m. You know how many people we got on the first day? 3. After we passing out the 300 flyers about free afternoon school, we got only 3 people. And then after that, we will keep struggling. You know, the first 2 years since we moved this church, New Christian was growing like this. The members growing, we were growing fast. And strangely, after we started this free afternoon school, churches started decreasing. And then a lot of volunteers who involved before, they said, I burnt out. It's too much. To providing this program continuously to the neighborhood is too much, so I cannot do it. Oh, this is not the church I think I was dreaming. The job load is too heavy. And slowly, we were losing the members. So as a pastor, I asked myself, is this the right program we're supposed to do it? You know, we expected church will grow because of this program, but it's not growing actually, it's just slowly decreasing because the people were too tired, they were burnt out. And then leaders come to me, they let's shut it down. You know, it's not that good. You know, the members are all tired, they're burnt out. It's time-consuming, energy-consuming program to serve these many kids. It's not helpful. Let's just shut it down. And some people suggest me. But whenever we have a suggestion to shut it down or stop it, we just gathered, let's pray again, if this is really the right thing to do. And then we continued and continued, because we had only one faith, this is what God wants us to do. Even if the church doesn't grow, we are doing what God wants us to do. You know, can you go back to the, go back to the covenant page, Aldi? Covenant, yeah. You know, I want to explain one thing about covenant. You know, the theme of the whole Bible, some people say it's a covenant. Do you know what covenant is? You know, God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant with Moses. God made a covenant with the people of Israel, David, and even Jesus Christ, when he gave the Holy Communion, he says, this is a new covenant. Whole Bible from cover to cover, is keep talking about covenant. You know, covenant is between promise and contract. Covenant is the way that God tried to restore this world. God's relationship with the human being was broken because of our disobedience. And God tried to restore relationship with the human being through the covenant. That was how God did. And then the same thing with the covenant and promise. You know, promise and difference, promise and contract? If I say, hey, I'm going to buy dinner for you tomorrow, is that covenant, is that promise or contract? That's a promise. I just tell you that I'm going to buy a birthday gift for you next year. This is just promise. It's just one way. They don't have to even answer. I give you my promise. Unlike a promise, contract, the two people are supposed to make it, right? If you walk church cleaning for 3 hours, I buy lunch for you. Then that's a contract. That's not promise. Because there's a condition. Covenant is not promise. Some people confuse that God just keep giving the promise. It's not like that. God just didn't give the promise. There's always condition. If you obedient, and if you follow my word, if you love other people, you will be my people, I'll be your God, I'll bless you. There's always condition. So God's covenant is not promise. But at the same time, God's covenant is not contract, because contract, we can negotiate. Hey, if you do the church cleaning 3 hours, I buy lunch for you. And we can say, 3 hours for lunch? No. Can you do only 2 hours of church cleaning, then would you buy lunch? So you can negotiate for the contract. But covenant, it's the reciprocal, there's a condition. But very important thing for covenant, if God says so, there's no negotiation. You want to follow me, go to the land that I point you, will you go? Your answer is only between two, yes or no. You cannot say, can I go next year? Can I go 2 years later? Can I do only half work? You cannot negotiate. That is a covenant. So most important part for the covenant is obedience. You know why the human relationship was broken with God from Adam and Eve? Because of disobedience, right? Because our relationship with God was broken, disobedience, God wanted to restore relationship with us through the covenant, the most important element of a covenant, because it was obedience. And let me share one more thing. What's the difference between obedience and agreement? Agreement, you follow the suggestion because you like it. If God tells you so, next week, praise team, will you sing Oh Happy Day one more time? Sounds good. That's like a plan. We'll do it. Then this is not obedience. You just agreed with it because it sounds okay. But obedience, when you do not agree with that person, if you do it, that's obedience. Hey, next year or next whole year, you know, the whole of this congregation, you should make 52 weeks every Sunday. You should not miss any Sunday. And some of them, no, we should go family vacation. I have a business trip. I cannot do that. I don't agree. So you cannot simply, you don't have to agree for that. But if you follow the order, then that's obedience. When was the last time in your life you felt God's presence strong? Was it having just to live as a Christian, go back and forth without miracle in your life? When does a miracle happen? Whenever people obey to God. When obey means when God gave them very stupid order, go to the desert to be a head of a family. If I want to be head of family, I should go to a city. Why God tells me go to the desert? That doesn't make sense. But even if the order doesn't make sense, when you follow it, not because of you agree, but because it's order, so because you wanted to obey, then that's obedience. You know our Spanish ministry, what happened? First 2 years, church was decreasing ever since we started the free afternoon school. Very strange thing happened. We just try to offer free afternoon school to the children, and then we expected the church will grow because of the people out there as a volunteer, they will come to help us. That was our plan. And as I said, it did not happen. We did not have a volunteer from outside, and church was decreasing. So we were growing and decreasing, but all of a sudden, church become like this. You know what happened? All these Latino parents start coming to church. When it just to offer the program for the children, without expecting the Latino families will join it because our culture different, language different, we never imagined we will have a Latino congregation. We just try to do the good thing for our children. But as we will keep doing it, and as the people say, let's stop it, too much, and church is not growing, we are all tired. Whenever it happens, the leadership keeps saying, no, this is what we feel God wants us to do. I know it doesn't make sense to keep doing it because church doesn't grow, but we know this is what God wants us to do. Let's do it. When you continue that way, all of a sudden, there's like 20 Latino adults came in at the worship, and we won't be part of your church. So the Spanish congregation, Latin, Spanish-speaking congregation was born in our church. And at that time, I could see the why God ordered us to do it. When you obey, when you cannot agree, that is a true obedience. You know, if we go back to today's passage again, the last word of Jesus Christ, you should understand about centurion. Why did the centurion say this, especially when Jesus said, who's the centurion? Can you go to the next page? Next page to the picture of the centurion? No, go all the way back. All the way back to the, the last page. You know, Roman centurion is not commander. Commander is the one who's sitting at the wall. You go fight for them. But who's the centurion? Centurion is the leader of infantry of a soldier. Centurion is the one who go out to fight with his soldiers, right? If the commander gave order, hey, you go out to fight. And the centurion might say, are you kidding me? There's a fire there. There's water there. You want to all my soldiers and I go there, die? Commander, are you crazy? But still, centurion is the one who should go. His soldiers might complain, hey, the commander is crazy. They send the spears and there's arrows and the enemy is like thousands. Should we go? And centurion was crazy. This order, let's go. We should go because we got order. That is the centurion. Centurion is the one who knew that I should follow the order when I don't agree. I should follow the order when I don't like it. When Jesus said, God, why have you forsaken me? I thought you will be with me until the last moment on the cross. I thought my ministry is glorious. It will be successful. More people will follow me. That was the reason that I agreed with you. Go to save the world. That's like a plan. Sounds good. I will give you powerful miracles. I can do that. But why did it end up like this? Why have you forsaken me? But the important thing, even if he was complaining, even if he did not like God's order, Jesus was following it. On the cross, he followed the order, why you forsaken me? But I will finish this on the cross. When centurion saw it, he thought, that's me. That's like me. I know what he's talking about. I felt this moment in my life. It's crazy order. You forsaken me by ordering me go to the thousands of enemies. Me and my soldiers will be killed there in a day. But I go because I'm centurion. That is the centurion. If you haven't felt God's strong voice in your life, if you haven't felt the miracles that how the church is built, how the church is growing, how the miracles happen in your family and your life, because we never obeyed. We just agreed. We just did what we agreed. And there was a moment that we could not agree. I go to church, but then when I have time, and when I'm not busy, yeah, I will go to church. I agree with going to church because it's good. Oh, but today I cannot go. Oh, that thing I cannot go because I don't agree. I cannot do it. That doesn't sound good. That doesn't make sense. It's not good for my life. When that moment came, if you obey, that's a true obedience. All the miracles, all the God's great work in the Bible, they happened when people obeyed. None of them happened when people agreed. God never gave the order to specific people to something they can agree. It was too easy. Without God's order, they can do it. But they had to do it only because of His order. What order did God give you in life? What miracles have you experienced? What was the thing that you did only because it was God's order, because you believed that way, even if you lose everything by doing it? And then even if you did not like it, just go more than that. I know you're all good people. You agree with God in God's word. But that's not enough. You should go one more step from agreement to obedience. And that is the moment truly you can experience God's holy presence and God's power and miracles and church's growth in your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all the word of God and promise and covenant you gave us. Many of them, or all of them, it was hard to follow. Go to the desert. Go to meet the person that you don't like. And go to the pray for the people who hate you. And be my disciple. Give up everything behind you. And just follow me. Everything did not make sense. There was no future in the promise. But Lord, let us learn true obedience. As Jesus became Son of God, as he was called Son of God through his obedience, let us be called true Christians through our obedience, Lord. In your name we pray, amen.